Several years ago, former Congressman Patrick Kennedy shared the story of his personal and family challenges with mental health issues in his best-selling memoir, A Common Struggle. Now he has written another book, along with his co-author, Stephen Fried, Profiles in Mental Health Courage. And joining us on our Tri-County Contracting Hotline is Patrick Kennedy. And Patrick, first I got to ask you, you've adapted the title Profiles in Mental Health Courage, obviously inspired by your late uncle, President Kennedy. Have you heard from Caroline? Is she okay with you adapting that title?
Well, in a real way, what President Kennedy wrote about when he featured the 8 senators, I found that 4 of them, and that these were easy senators to find out about, which tells you a lot since it's been a couple hundred years and some of them had been alive. They suffered from mental illness and addiction and suffered greatly. John Quincy Adams lost 2 of his brothers to alcoholism in their 30s. John Quincy Adams, President Adams, lost his oldest son, George Washington Adams, to suicide at 28. Lucius Lamar saw his father take his life right in front of him. Sam Houston, another profile in the book, was known as the Big Drunk. Daniel Webster, who was my late father's hero, a leading abolitionist in the U.S. Senate, died of cirrhosis of the liver. My point is that we never talked about these illnesses. And part of the reason our country has a major public health challenge is that we've never funded treatment. And the reason we've never funded treatment is people have been so shamed and silent by these illnesses. And until we feature people who are courageous enough to tell their stories in depth, not just on the surface, we're never going to break the back of the stigma and silence that's holding our country back from addressing, frankly, I think the biggest public health challenge that we have as a nation today, and then that is the epidemic of suicide and overdose. So using President Kennedy's great title and applying it to these 12 profiles that I featured in the book, I think is an appropriate use of President Kennedy's legacy. Keep in mind, President Kennedy was the one who authored and signed into law the Community Mental Health Act of 1963. President Kennedy's sister, my Aunt Rosemary, was the reason we have Special Olympics today. And she was the inspiration behind him talking about having a sister with an intellectual disability. And so my family has always been about trying to advance the widening of opportunity for more Americans who have been left out. And people with mental illness and addiction are living on our streets. They're incarcerated in our jails and prisons, and they need to be treated with dignity and respect as opposed as pariahs. And they're pariahs because we don't understand the nature of a mental illness and addiction.
Patrick,
and that is what we're after in doing this book.
You know, we're so familiar with tragedies on your dad's side of the family, obviously. But there's one tragedy that you profile in this book about a cousin on your mom's side.
You know, I have addiction on both sides of my family. And on my mom's side, both my mother suffered from alcoholism. Her sister suffered from alcoholism. My grandmother died of alcoholism and wasn't found for a week because she was isolated and alone, which is often the case with these illnesses. My cousin, Mark, lost his son, Harry, named after my grandfather, to suicide at 22 years of age. He had never talked about losing Harry because, of course, anyone who does lose a loved one to overdose or suicide, you know, most likely doesn't talk at all because of the shame of these illnesses. But he opened up in this book, as does the other profiles that I feature. And when I talked to him about his son, I also talked to Harry's brother, and I talked to Harry's roommate in college to get their perspectives on what they saw in Harry that might have led up to his suicide. And it's interesting, none of them talked to each other. In other words, Harry's father didn't talk to Harry's brother, didn't talk to Harry's roommate. If all of them had talked and shared what they had shared with me, maybe they would have had a different perspective on how, you know, vulnerable Harry was to suicide. And so part of destigmatizing this illness is to save lives. Because if people are more open about talking, there's less lives, I think, will be lost.
We're talking with Patrick Kennedy about his book, Profiles in Mental Health Courage. You mentioned about some of the problems within your own family. And I have to ask you about your cousin, RFK. A couple weeks ago, he came out with this story about a brain worm. Is that something you were familiar with before this became public?
Well, no, I think most Americans weren't familiar with that in general. Of course, there were lots of stories following that initial story about him. But my family, I just have to say, is supporting President Biden and me in particular, because President Biden's done more for mental health and addiction than any other president in history. And he's done more to enforce the law that I had the chance to write when I was in Congress, called the Mental Health Parity and Addiction Equity Act, which means that insurance companies can't deny mental health care any more than they would deny cancer care or cardiovascular disease care or diabetes. And Joe Biden has enforced that law. Joe Biden has invested more money in community mental health than any other previous president. So I am in favor of Joe Biden. That's who I'm for. I'm not talking about who I'm against. I clearly want democracy to win in this election, and I worry about our country's democracy if President Trump is returned to office, given his promises to take us backwards in terms of an autocratic kind of approach to government, which I think is dangerous for our country. But, you know, I think that Joe Biden should be reelected. I worry that my cousin would hinder that reelection and turn hand the election over to Donald Trump, which I think is not good for the country. And that's the reason I've been so outspoken in support of President Biden.
And clearly your focus is on mental health. Are you concerned about the mental health either of your cousin or of former President Trump?
You know, one thing I've learned is that you can't diagnose someone, you know, without letting a clinician who knows and is trained to do that be able to do that. And one of the ways we stigmatize mental illness and addiction is we cast kind of a diagnosis on someone that we find repugnant and we call them mentally ill. Honestly, I think a lot of people who suffer from mental illness would not like to be lumped in the same category as Donald Trump. You know, having a mental illness doesn't mean that they're, you know, so self-centered and selfish to the extreme like Donald Trump. They're suffering from an illness that, you know, he frankly ignored as president. He did not put any money. He talked a good game about the opioid crisis, but he did nothing to help fund, you know, the solution, nor hold people accountable. So we need to evaluate our people who are going to vote for or not vote for based upon where their record is.
I know that you are really working as a political advocate for public health. Obviously, you stepped away from Congress. Was one of the reasons you stepped away because you were concerned about your own mental health?
No doubt about it. You know, I had to leave Congress because I was suffering from a chronic illness that needed to be addressed in more than just a short stay in treatment. I needed a fundamental change in my life in order to get my arms around my own progressive addiction. And that's why I left Congress. And since I left Congress, frankly, I've been sober, which means I've not had to drink or use drugs or any mood or mind altering substance since February 22nd, 2011. And I picked a permanent sobriety date. I focused my life on my own recovery, and that's made all the difference. I had to do that in order to, I think, survive what is really a fatal illness if it's not properly treated.
In retrospect, do you wish you could have helped your mom and your dad with their issues with alcohol?
You know, I think that if we had a more enlightened view of what they both went through back when they were suffering in silence, they may have been able to openly get help and not feel like they were being judged, and probably would have had a better chance of being able to move on with their lives and get past the great disabling impact of alcoholism and addiction and depression and anxiety and trauma, which, of course, my father faced enormously. So I think that in the future, I want people to be able to get help just like they do for HIV/AIDS, just like they do for cancer, which was also stigmatized in an earlier age. And if they don't screen for a mental illness and addiction at stage one, then we're not going to be able to get our arms around this crisis the way we need to. We cannot wait for these illnesses to become stage four illnesses. In other words, at crisis levels, before we reach out and help one another. And that's part of the reason I wrote this book, Profiles in Mental Health Courage, because I want people to feel more open about telling their stories, because they actually read that these stories are quite common amongst all Americans.
Patrick J. Kennedy, thank you so much for sharing your story with us.
Thank you for having me.